Pontacular 367, same old song for May 9th, 2013.
Hello everyone, welcome to Pottacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And we are here to talk about yet another bulletin with some more updates on the weapon tuning and future matchmaking updates that are coming down the pipe. There hasn't been much new news in the bulletins recently, so we're actually going to start looking into talking about the game after we've seen it for 6 months, where kind of our thoughts are on the whole experience that was Halo 4 and that is Halo 4. So we're going to start moving into more of those topical discussions and kind of focus away from the bulletins here starting in the next few episodes. So we'll get to talk to what we think about the game after 6 months. We'll start to dive into the books. We'll get to into the other Halo fiction. We'll expand into some other areas of the Halo universe, like McFarlane toys and the Mega Block stuff and some other sides of Halo that have kind of gone unnoticed for the last 6 months or so because of Halo 4 being out and everything. So we're going to start taking that direction, and in about a month's time or so, we'll start to have community members on the show as guest hosts, and we'll start to kind of ask for people to come on the show starting in the June timeframe. So be on the lookout for that as well. But let's go ahead and just jump right into the bulletin. They're still working on the weapon tuning, of course. As we heard from last week, they have pretty much a set schedule of getting some people into the studio to test out some of the new settings and just get their feel for it, playtest it, refine it until they're satisfied with the finished product. Yep. It's just kind of at this point, it's the same old song and dance. That's why kind of how we named the title same old song. And it's kind of the same rhetoric over and over again. There is someone new that they brought in. So I think last week it was Ghost Diame. Or was it Walshy? No, it was...
It was Walshy.
It was Walshy last week, sorry. Yeah. So this week it's Kobe Yamayushi. He's another kind of pro player, and he was actually invited to 343. So he got to get his hands on the new settings, and I actually like his responses. He seemed a little bit more intuitive, a little bit more thought out, and kind of gives us a better picture of what the tuning system currently is bringing to the table. So, of course, he was asked about his thoughts on the current weapon balance testing and everything, and he says that the new four-shot BR kind of really brings back that Halo 2 and Halo 3 feel. As you guys know, if you played Halo 2 and Halo 3, they had a four-shot BR, not a five-shot BR. So he feels that bringing this back is a good direction for a competitive play, and it really puts DMR through its paces at closer range battles. So, of course, the DMR, they've kind of been downtoning, at least from 343's perspective, on making it not the premier weapon just about in any circumstance that you come across. So a lot of people that were really into Halo 2 and Halo 3 should find the new battle rifle very comfortable and very inviting to play. So be on the lookout for that. The reduction in the DMR for the distance for the magnetism, he says, is an easy way to eliminate the five-shot kills from across map. I am definitely one of those DMR players that loves to get people from across the map, especially on maps like Solus when you are shooting across the snipe bridges.
Oh, yeah.
I love my DMR for that case. But they've kind of dumbed that down just a tad. I'm kind of sad to see my DMR be nerfed a little bit, but
well,
it's all for the balance of the game, right?
The thing is, I don't think it's as much of a nerf for good players, like players that have been practicing with the DMR for a long time. I'm assuming that even though the RRR, or whatever they're calling it, the red reticule range for the DMR, like, even though it's not turning red, you know, showing you that you are indeed, you know, pointed at your enemy, and if you shoot, it will hit, like, you can still shoot and hit them even if it's not red. So this is mostly just going to affect players who rely solely on that RRR, kind of the mid-range casual player. You know, if you've been playing with the DMR for a long time, I assume that you can still use the DMR to great effect at long range, as opposed to even the battle rifle. It's definitely nerfed now. It's not as powerful as it was, but I think really for me, the big point of this is the casual player cannot defeat me with the DMR as easily now. You know, it's going to show off the player's skill better than it does now. I think a lot of the weapons right now try to make it easy for the casual player to kind of get a leg up on the more hardcore competitive player. And this, you know, title update is basically trying to shift that back into, okay, if you are more skilled at the game, you will beat players who haven't been playing as long. As it should be, you know. You know, in sports, just because you're awful at it doesn't mean that you should have, you know, certain, you know, game-breaking handicaps given to you, necessarily, unless it's just for fun, but I don't know. It seems like it's the title update isn't really pointed at, we're going to take these skilled players and, you know, destroy the weapon that they're good at and make it to where they can't use it anymore, as much as it's just, hey, you know, the casual player, you've been relying on this kind of handicap we've given you for so long, and now we're just kind of taking that away, so.
Right. It's just a matter of, I don't know, I think it's definitely catering more towards the competitive stuff, all the stuff that they're doing to change these weapons, and I think it's a move in the right direction. Competitive Halo, of course, is one of those things that it's kind of on the edge right now, and I think what 343 is doing is trying to bring it back a little bit. So it's okay. I think it's going to work out really well in the end. And of course, just having all this playtesting, hopefully we'll have, when it comes to making Halo 5, they'll actually be able to have competitive Halo kind of nailed right out of the gate.
Yeah.
So
I think you'll see most of the casual players kind of shift over to the battle rifle, and all of the hardcore competitive players moving on to the assault rifle.
right. I still don't know why they're kind of nerfing the reducing that magnetism for the assault rifle does make it a little bit more competitive. It is it's a weapon to be reckoned with at close range. They really nailed the assault rifle pretty well for Halo 4. That was one of the guns that they actually did a pretty good job with. Now, this is going to require a little bit more skill closer range, but when you're at close range, it really doesn't take too much to detect when someone's going to be turning around. Now, that magnetism does help if you're starting to move your camera, but I think when it comes to competitive play for assault rifle, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. It's going to be the casual games where you're going to see that big difference in the assault rifle use.
Yeah. To me, the assault rifle always kind of seemed like the weapon where it was the developer kind of handing the casual player something they could use if they just could not figure out how to use the precision weapon from that game, like the battle rifle. That's the classic weapon from, you know, Halo 2 that is now ubiquitous amongst competitive players, or at least until, you know, Reach and Halo 4 came out. And it took skill. There is a certain way to use the battle rifle that if you don't use it correctly, or if you don't practice with it, you're going to get beat in showdowns with people who are better with the BR than you are. You know, that was kind of the chopping block between, you know, the good player and the bad player is how skilled with the battle rifle they are. And the assault rifle is kind of like saying, yeah, we realize maybe you just can't learn how to use the BR right. Maybe you've tried, maybe you've gotten frustrated. And so instead of leaving the game, here's this weapon that doesn't take as much skill to get a kill with, just so that you can actually play and get a few kills in the matches you're in. Because really, in most situations, unless the person with the AR just got the jump on me, or they came from behind me, or they're just really, really close, generally you can beat them with a battle rifle or a DMR, even at close range. Because really all you have to do is, you know, just chunk a grenade at their feet and shoot them in the head, you know, and generally that is a faster process than even if they threw a grenade at your feet and used the AR, it would still take a little bit longer than the transition from grenade chunk to battle rifle shot to the face.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like the assault rifle is going to be... I don't think it's ever going to be the preeminent weapon that, you know, real competitive players are ever going to use. The AR is just kind of... Yeah, if you just want to play casually and you don't want to learn how to use the BR or the DMR, just here you go. Enjoy.
Yep. Some interesting stuff on the light rifle is... actually, the range on the DMR where the reticle turns red has been reduced and the light rifle has been bumped up, so they're actually the same. And it turns out from Cody's playtesting that the light rifle is actually more powerful at long range, and he actually said that he never really considered using the light rifle until he played it with this weapon update. So we're going to see a lot more use of the light rifle after this update comes out.
Yeah. I also think you'll see a lot more use of the carbine, which they go on to talk about later in the update, but they're reducing the spread on the carbine, which should make it a much more formidable weapon.
Yeah. It'll be a lot more kind of uniform experience across the board for the carbine. So
yeah, I mean,
they've kind of tweaked all the primary precision weapons.
Yeah.
So it was interesting because the carbine wasn't really one that they focused on at all in the past updates, and it's nice to see that they actually addressed it here finally.
Yeah.
He feels that in tournament play, this is going to be a pretty good improvement, and it's going to be a move in the right direction for competitive Halo, and hopefully kind of brings a little bit more life back into the whole competitive scene. So, competitive players, this is going to be the update for you from what it sounds like so far. So that's pretty much, from Cody's questions, all we have. There's this next section here that's the current state of weapon tuning, and this is where they go a little bit more into the details specifically of what's going on behind the scenes. And we've seen this in previous updates, and this, we kind of already touched on them here a little bit on the precision weapon front and the assault rifle. They have made some slight modifications to the damage of the Magnum. It's still 6 shots, but the damage is increased just a tad bit. They didn't go into details on how they really felt about this in game, other than the fact that it felt really good, especially when you were using it in tandem with other players. So, hopefully we'll see some more details on that coming out soon.
Yep.
343 has started sending out their invitations to people to come to the studio and play the updated, settings before it gets released. And from Twitter, there's a few people definitely going that we know. There's Ghostyame, there's Green Skull, and a few others that have been invited to go out there. So, unfortunately, I am not one of the ones that going, but I'm pretty sure the reason is because I have a job. I'm sure Jess knows that inviting me out there would just be, I would have to take time off work and go do it. So, while I would like to go, she probably has my best interest in mind. So, yep. Jess, if you're listening... I would have loved to come. I would have loved to get the invite anyways and decline it, but oh well. There is some... let's see. Play that's supposed to be set up on June 3rd for 343, and I guess they'll have a firm announcement on that coming out, but they're supposed to be having a group of 343... employees out on live to play Halo with. So come June 3rd, we'll have a play date with 343.
Yay.
And that'll be on the kickoff night for the night that the weapon tuning goes into effect.
Yep. So, get ready to play against 343.
Yep.
Yeah. It's always cool to play against developers.
Mm-hmm. Although playing against Bravo, not looking forward to that.
No.
Because he's good. He used to be a pro, for you guys that don't know. Yeah. Moving along, the matchmaking playlist update. So if you guys have not already done so and want to look into putting your thoughts into the Forge maps are going to be introduced into playlists soon, the ones that are from Forge Island, definitely head on over to the Community Cartographers thread over on the Waypoint forums and leave your comments and feedback on the maps that are looking to be put into matchmaking. And these will be announced for next week's bulletin, and then they'll be put into matchmaking. So, of course, in 2 weeks, that means we'll have our next Monday night matchmaking coming up very soon. Not next week, of course, but the week after. So, definitely go over to the community cartographers thread if you have any comments on the new maps. And yeah, short bulletin this week because we're already at the screenshots of the week. This week it is the battle rifle.
Yay! Everybody's favorite weapon. Well, I guess not everybody's.
Well, DMR.
It tends to be a fan favorite, though. I mean, look at that. If you played Halo 2 to any great extent, you know, you had real good times with the BR. It's kind of a nostalgia thing.
Right.
Generally, just in Halo 4, the only reason I'll use the battle rifle is just because I'm so nostalgic for it. It's a weapon that you can recognize. I like that rat-a-tat-tat, you know, the three-shot burst.
Right.
But, I mean, generally, if you want to win in Halo 4, you will stick with the DMR. I hope it changes with this title update, but good times with the BR. You know, even in Halo 3, still a good weapon. Still a weapon that people like.
Yep.
A lot of people were kind of taken aback when they took it out of Reach and replaced it with the DMR, because that weapon is fairly, I mean, it's pretty different from the battle rifle. You know, the single shot kind of, even the idea of a reticle bloom kind of took people back. They're like, wow, I have to actually wait to shoot. You know, I can't just pull the trigger as many times as I want.
Right.
And, you know, get any accuracy from it. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see. Out of the screenshots from the ones this week, I'm going to say my favorite is probably Looking to the Heavens. Bottom left of all the screenshots for this week. Most of these are just kind of forge art. Well, no, not, I guess not most of them. A few of these are forge art, from what I can tell. Three of them are. I'm not sure why the one with the pulse grenade is in here as a BR screenshot.
It's kind of, I guess he's holding a BR, maybe?
I mean, he may be holding a BR, but, yeah. I mean, if it's a set for a battle rifle, kind of, right. You're supposed to be kind of highlighting the battle rifle a little bit.
Yeah, but if it's supposed to be focused on the BR, I don't understand why this was chosen, really. I mean, it looks cool. It's a neat looking screenshot, but it's not topic relevant, really.
Right.
You know, just out of the ones that are topic relevant. I mean, the forge art kind of seems like it's cheating in a way. I mean, not really. Forge art looks cool. But in a contest where you're trying to make cool looking screenshots, it always seems like it's more sporting to pick the screenshots that were taken kind of in actual games. I mean, you can't really tell if any of these screenshots were taken in real games or if they were staged.
Well, you can tell.
Well, I mean, sometimes, but there is a way to tell, but I'm just saying you can't just by looking at it say for sure whether or not that happened in an actual match or if it were staged in a custom game or if it happened in Forge.
I mean, some
of them definitely look more like they happened in real games, but
I can tell you two of those were real games and nothing, or three of those. Two of them definitely, three of them possibly.
None of these really appeal to me that much. I'm not going to lie. If any of them, I guess My BR by Dasonic Boom. Just because I like that kind of explosive effect having it around him.
Uh-huh.
And the BR is, you know, right in the middle of the shot, so. I guess that's how it got in there. And, I mean, it's called My BR.
So. My BR.
That's mine.
It's mine.
It's not yours. Until you pick it up.
Mine. All right. That covers the bulletin for this week. Really, really short. Time for some voicemails. We got one for this week, so I'm going to go ahead and play that real quick.
Hey, Podacular. I'm loving the show you guys do. You do a great job. And you go in real depth. You bring up a lot of great points. And I hope you guys keep up the good work. My gamer tag is Bamflo, just like it's spelled, two F's on the end. I'm going to leave you guys with a question. Would you rather be Master Chief for the rest of your life or be an AI like Cortana? Take care, guys. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you for the call in. To his question, would we want to be Master Chief for life or an AI like Cortana? I'm going to say Master Chief because only having a lifespan of 7 years and then going rampant doesn't sound very appealing. I mean, yeah, you have the ability to know just about anything and everything, but if I can have someone else just do that for me and keep track and then just kind of go on fighting, I think that's the way I'd want to go.
Yeah, madness really isn't something I would enjoy, I don't think.
No.
I enjoy not knowing everything. Mystery is a pleasure in life, and Cortana does not really... I mean, there is mystery. There's things Cortana doesn't know, but having access to the entirety of human knowledge is probably not as fun as it seems.
Right.
It makes you go crazy. I mean, that's the point of rampancy, is they know everything, and so they think themselves to death. I would rather be Chief. But, I mean, being Chief would suck, too, because, I mean, he got stolen from his family as a kid. He got put into military service, you know, against his own free will. I mean, now, given the choice to leave or stay, he'd probably stick with the UNSC because, I mean, that's what the Chief does. He's a soldier.
That's his home.
Right. That's the only thing he knows how to do, and he does it well.
Right.
I mean, but the augmentations would have been incredibly painful. You know, being shot at all the time, probably not that great. I really don't want to be Cortana or the Chief. I'd rather be like Lasky or something. You know, just have kind of a cushy job on a ship where I could, you know, bark orders and hobnob it with Sarah Palmer.
Okay. All right. Well, after that one. Straight into the one submission that we have, and he's actually in the chat room right now. And it's from Game Dude. He writes in, "Hey Podtech, so before I say anything else, and if you want to go on a tangent, it's fine by me. All that stuff last week, i.e. the article of 343 and stuff, a lot of people I see from YouTube make all these lists of what they want for the next Halo game. You can see Halo 4 about less than half from these lists, and already the lists have started again. It's like Christmas. Everyone wants everything, and when they don't get it, they complain. Now, I'm not perfect either. I had a list for Halo 4, but I have learned to accept what I did or didn't get in Halo 4. I don't know when this started, but the lists are getting crazy. A while ago, I started wishing one thing for Halo 5 is to play any kind of player model, elites, grunts, marines, etc. I'm still playing on that one, and that's it. If any person wanted one thing for Halo 5, that's still a lot of things. Whatever Halo 5 is going to be, I hope it's like Halo. Fun Halo, cool Halo, and Halo as core. I loved all the Halos. Halo 4 just left me a little concerned. So with that, there was one last thing that was going to be the main part of this, but I've been working on recreating certain scenes from a certain Machinima series with two bases in the Box Canyon. Almost a week and a half until the new Xbox reveal. I can't wait, but I have to. Keep on fragging trucks." So... thanks, Game Dude, for the submission. I think there's a lots of things that everyone wants from Halo, coming Halo 5. And I think as far as just seeing what people want so far from everyone that has kind of said, well, Halo needs this back in the game or it could use this. I still think that at its core, Halo needs to be kind of reevaluated and see what makes Halo Halo. I mean, we saw from the article a couple weeks ago that they took a game that felt like Halo and they dumped it. So I think they kind of need to go back to the drawing board on that one. I think they need to figure out what the core Halo experience is, bring that familiarity back, and then add on top of that familiarity.
Yeah. I think they need to just, when they create something... Like, I'm just basing this off of the stuff that they've came out with. They've been doing a lot of interviews about the development process for Halo 4, and they you know, talk about all of these cool things that they had planned, and they made it through concept, and then they just scrapped it. And they don't really tell you why they scrapped it, you know? I mean, I think that's one of the big problems that people have with the scrapped it quote, is, you know, this idea that they had something that was good, and, you know, for... apparently no reason at all. I'm sure there was a reason, but they don't really tell you why they just got rid of it. Like, so people just assume they got rid of it because it was too much like Halo. They need to realize that being Halo is a good thing. They need to embrace Halo's history instead of trying to reject it, so that they can substitute their own. There are things that you can do to make Halo your own franchise as a new developer without scrapping the things that make Halo, Halo. The things that fans like. And if you do something in development and you think it's cool, don't just scrap it, iterate on it. You work it, mold it to your own liking, but don't just completely get rid of it. They were talking about the process of development on Promethean Knights recently. And they were talking about how they had this whole chess set mentality they were coming up with. There was going to be like a rook enemy and a bishop enemy and a knight enemy and a king and a queen enemy. Like all sorts of different chess piece type enemies that would have different roles in battle. And they really just ended up sticking with the crawler, the watcher, and the knight. The knight would obviously be the knight in that chess set.
Mm-hmm.
I think they said the crawlers were the pawns or something. I don't know. The watchers were based on bishops. But the idea of having, more enemies, which is something the Prometheans needed anyway. They needed a more varied enemy type. I mean, you look back at the Covenant as a set of enemies, and that's a pretty varied set of enemies. And the one of the big points of the Covenant is that they don't really all look the same. Now, I realize...
Well, they're composed of different races.
Well, yeah. I mean, I realize that you can't really get around that canonically, because the Prometheans were created by one race. I feel like they could have designed them maybe a little bit differently, like make them glow different colors or something. I don't know, but they said that at one point the knight was able to kind of roll up into a ball, Metroid style, and roll around as opposed to teleporting. And I was thinking, yeah, I mean, I would rather them roll up into a ball and try and roll at me than teleport, and then I don't know where they went, and I have to kind of search around for a second. And even if you know where they're teleporting at, like while they're phasing back in, you can't really get shots in on them. It's kind of annoying. There were a lot of problems with the Promethean set of enemies. And I feel like instead of just completely scrapping the chess set thing, they should have stayed with that idea and just iterated on it and made it better. Make it something that would have been fun and something you can look at and say, yeah, I mean, the Covenant was cool, but now there's a new set of enemies, and then they're also cool in their own special way. But in Halo 4, it really just ended up being, hey, there's these new enemies, and it's kind of whatever. I really didn't enjoy shooting watchers in the face, or shooting crawlers in the face, rather, trying to peg watchers out of the sky. One of the big selling points for the Halo campaign was that the Covenant was such a great enemy type. I mean, if you look back at all of the reviews of past Halo games, reviewers have always kind of praised Bungie for its great AI and just the way the enemies move and their different roles in combat.
The thing for the Prometheans were their movements were predictable. They were just a pain to fight because they just took so much damage.
Yeah.
The Covenant still seemed a little bit more intuitive than the Prometheans did.
It just seems like in Halo 5, to get back to the submission that Game Dude sent in, they need to find cool ideas that they like, and when they go about working on those ideas in concept, just don't scrap them. If you don't like it, you don't have to, throw away all of the work you did. That would be like, writing half of a novel and being like, it just ain't working, I mean, if you got halfway into a novel, I mean, something was working. And just because you got halfway in, it didn't work, doesn't mean you have to scrap the entire process. You just go in and you iterate. You make it better. But just find cool stuff and don't get rid of old stuff that made Halo, Halo. You don't have to get rid of things to make it your own game. In fact, that's going to make people mad. I mean, it's better to bring in other stuff that complements those kind of legacy features.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of my take on how they can make a better Halo when they go to make Halo 5.
Yeah, they have to dive back into what made Halo Halo before. They have to do that. There's really no excuse. They need to focus on the core Halo community as well. You want to expand your audience. You want to get other people into the game that aren't necessarily into Halo, but you need to focus on your core crowd, your core audience first before really stepping out and trying to get those other people.
Yep.
Because that core audience is also going to help push the game out to other people and push it out in such a way where it stays in people's hands. You can do a lot with advertising to where it gets it out to a lot of people, but those people don't stay. If you want people to stay, you need to adhere to that core base and then have that kind of permeate throughout the rest of the community.
I can just imagine, someone up in Microsoft, one of the higher-ups, coming to 343 and being like, all right, we realize that the Wii really attracted soccer moms. Now, make that work with Halo. make Halo something soccer moms and people in retirement homes can enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously not what happened, but just the idea that you can reach players that wouldn't necessarily come to the franchise on their own. I mean, that's a hard sell. I mean, there is a big group of gamers that simply don't like first-person shooters. They don't want to play first-person shooters. Some of them get motion sickness. I've heard that that's kind of the big issue with first-person shooters in Japan is that apparently they all have a gripe with the motion sickness thing. And I guess if, your culture hasn't been playing first-person shooters, that would be the problem. I mean, Doom kind of inoculated the Western gamer's taste towards motion sickness. I've never gotten sick playing a first-person shooter, but I can definitely see where that kind of, especially if it's got head bob in it, that kind of first-person shooter perspective would make you sick. Some people just don't like shooting things. They feel that, the shooting in a game is a very poor and uncreative way for a developer to allow you to interact with the world they've created for you. That's kind of one of the big gripes that some people had with BioShock Infinite was that you had this really well-crafted world and it was extremely creative and people enjoy that game more for its kind of philosophical take.
I like Alice's comments in here, but they have cartoons with insane lighting that can cause seizures.
Oh yeah, I mean that's happened in Japan. I remember the most famous instance I can think of was an episode of the first season of the Pokemon anime. they went into some sort of Porygon world, and it flashed all these crazy seizure colors.
Oh gosh!
A whole bunch of Japanese children had to go to the hospital because of that.
Yikes!
Some people thought that would just completely destroy Pokemon as a franchise. Of course, it didn't. But
still here. They're on what season of Pokemon now? 17?
Oh yeah, I mean there's too many episodes to watch. I tried to watch all of them, and I'm like, no, I can't do it.
No, nope.
Especially knowing most series get better as they progress, but Pokemon anime is exact opposite. The first four seasons are pretty good, and then it just all goes to crap. It's like they didn't even care anymore. I guess when you have to churn them out at the rate that they do, you can't really focus on quality. Whereas in those first seasons, they thought that, people thought Pokemon was going to be a passing fad. I don't want to go off on the Pokemon tangent, but it's a short episode. We didn't have much.
We kind of already have
episode anyway. but yeah, I mean, people thought that the Pokemon would, be real popular and then it would just kind of fade out and no one would remember. Of course, that didn't happen. It's one of the most widely recognized video game franchises in the world. So,
right. Yep.
I'm just saying, I don't know. There is a segment of people who will just not play first-person shooters. That's not their kind of game. So you're not going to get those people. So then you have to wonder, what kind of demographic can 343 try to pull in? What kind of group of people don't play Halo now, but might play Halo if 343 does something? And that's the problem, is that nobody, even 343, doesn't know how to attract that kind of audience. And I mean, they're at a disadvantage to begin with, because most people don't want to come in on a franchise, you know, after it's, I mean, we're into the fifth entry of the Halo franchise. I mean, if you're just counting the big titles that have been released.
Right.
That's a lot of video games. Like, Metal Gear Solid is a game that people really enjoy. That's a franchise that a lot of people love. It's got a big backstory to it. And I have a PS3, but I didn't want to play Metal Gear Solid 4 because I didn't play Metal Gear Solids 1, 2, and 3. I would have no idea what was going on. And I'm sure that game's fun. People like that series for a reason, but I don't want to have to play through three games to get a full understanding of what's happening in the fourth. And I mean, that's a big problem with Halo, is that, first of all, you got four games where stuff happened that kind of explain the Master Chief and his story and his legacy. And then even beyond that, you have this extended fiction that ties in very heavily into the games. That if you didn't read those novels, you wouldn't have a full understanding of the Halo universe. And I mean, people understand that, and they don't want to get in on franchises when they're, you know, when they've progressed as far as Halo has. It's just kind of, I don't see like a whole bunch of people saying like, yeah, like Halo's 1, 2, and 3, you know, those games about the actual Halos, like the Halo rings, like, I don't want to play those. I want to play a Halo game that doesn't have a single Halo in it at all. If you just started playing Halo 4 and you had no idea what a Halo was and you played that game, like at the end of the game, you'd be like, why is this game called Halo? Like, I don't get
Well, I mean, we did go to a Halo, but it was very, very brief mention and brief experience.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like you were on the Halo.
No.
Just kind of floating around it.
Yeah. They have a lot of work to do. That's kind of just the ground floor here.
If anything, you want to make a franchise that is so much fun for its core base that the core base is enjoying it. And, you know, the core base has friends that don't necessarily play Halo. And then if they see their friends having so much fun playing Halo, they might say, yeah, I mean, I want to get on that. You know, I mean, if my friends are doing it, I might go ahead and play the first three Halo games and then play, you know, start getting into Halo 4. But if you make it to where your core base just doesn't care about Halo anymore, you don't have that influence. You don't have that set of people that are playing it so often that they can influence their friends to join in. I mean, it is kind of messed up, but you really want to get into this place where you have peer pressure going on. That's what happened with World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft got real popular because it was so popular. I mean, its popularity iterated on itself. It created its own popularity. Like, it was a kind of circular idea of, this thing is popular because it is popular. Like, I mean, that happens with a lot of stuff. But if, you know, if you don't have a lot of people on your friends list playing Halo 4 because they didn't enjoy the multiplayer as much as they did the past entries in the franchise, you're not going to get that pressure on people who don't play Halo to join in. I mean, if you see everybody on your list playing a single game, there's a good chance you're going to say, yeah, I mean, if everybody's playing it, I don't want to be left out. You know, I want to play with my friends, so I'm going to get in on it. But, you know, the population numbers for Halo 4 multiplayer have dropped dramatically.
Have dropped a lot.
I mean, they just bottomed out, like, terribly. They need to make a game that people will play for at least a year out of release. You can't maintain that initial release population.
No, you can't. There's no way.
For a long period of time. You can't do it. But, I mean, you can maintain a certain population that is large enough to where it feels active. The community feels, I'm not sure how to explain it really. The thing about population numbers in any video game is that you can't really see it. Like, it's not tangential. Like, you can see the numbers, but you can't see, like, everybody playing at the same time. And really, the only good gauge of popularity of a game for a lot of people is, what are my friends playing? Like, if I go onto my Xbox Live friends list, the most people are playing is probably the most popular video game at that given time. So just maintain your base. That's all I'm saying.
Nope.
Keep your base happy. Keep the hardcore Halo fan happy. and the other fans will follow.
Yep. That's the way you got to do it. So like we said, guys, short podcast. Bulletin's kind of short. We'll start expanding into other topics for the podcast. So thanks to everyone who did come out to the live stream and listen to us live. Sorry it's so short, guys, but we kind of just got through everything that we needed to get through. With that said, check us out on our website, podtacular.com. And while you're there, you can click on the big screen submit button and send in anything that you have, questions that may be Halo-related, any kind of tips or tricks that you have, any cool stories that you have in Halo, maybe if you're making maps or game types or any of that kind of stuff. Send it on over to us using that big green submit button on the homepage, or send it directly to us at submissions@podtacular.com. Or you can send it to us in voicemail form, and our voicemail number for that is 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. And leave your Halo-related questions, comments, feedback there. Make sure you also check us out on our social networks. We have Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, where we stream live our podcasts and our game nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, just about across the board. Except if we have special days that we have special podcasts, like the one from this last week when we had Brad and Connor on from AGL. So if you're into the competitive stuff and you have not listened to our previous episode, definitely go check that out. It's episode number 366. And like I was saying, our game nights that are out usually happen around 8:30 p.m. as well as the live stream that we have, which is on Thursdays. Next week, we're going to be having Wacky Wednesday only. That'll be Wednesday, of course, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And so make sure you come and check that out. We had a very, very, very big turnout this week. So big that we actually had to create two lobbies. So while the matchmaking stuff may be dying, the custom games are kind of coming up, especially with the recent addition to Forge Island. While we do this podcast for free, donations are appreciated. We have a donate button that you can use to send us money through PayPal. I can help out with hosting, and then whenever I go to events, I can cover some stuff. And we had a recent donation that actually helped us pay for Twitch Turbo, so we can stream live without any ad interruption. So if you're feeling generous and willing to give, any amount will do. Just head on over to our website and click on the donate button.
Yeah, instead of donating to the Penny Arcade downloadable content Kickstarter, just send it our way. Because I already have 60,000 bucks in the can.
Oops. Yeah.
I mean, not oops. I'm glad they're making that kind of money. I'm just saying they've got enough now. Send some our way.
Yes. Give some to the little man, please. All right. That's it for us tonight, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, keep on fragging those trucks.
On fragging title updates.